You know, I've been here 4 years now. And since coming to Ontario, I have had many moments of sheer embarrassment in worship. Some of them were of my own creation, but there have also been times when I was embarrassed by or for others. In fact, it's not an exaggeration to say that I've had more moments of personal embarrassment in my 4 years here than in my previous 20 years of ministry. Fortunately, this is the kind of church where people laugh with me more than at me. And unfortunately, it's also the kind of church where you will never let me live down my most embarrassing moments. But as embarrassed as I have been, I have never had as embarrassing a moment as is described in our Bible text for today. Never. Listen and hear possibly the most awkward moment in Jesus' public ministry. From Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 6 through 13. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. You got this picture? He was reclining at the table. That means he was sitting on the floor on cushions. That means that it was probably a Friday night Seder. That's when they would recline instead of sitting up to the table. And she did this in front of other people, and when she poured it on his head, it would have splashed all over, including onto the table. An entire bottle of perfume. Do you know how far that smell would have gone? We're not done yet. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman?" She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is God's word for us today. As I said, I've never had anything this embarrassing happen in worship. No one has ever taken an entire bottle of perfume and dumped it on my head while I was preaching, and Buzz, don't get any ideas. This story is told in all four Gospels, but a lot of the details are different. John 12, for instance, says the woman is Mary, and the perfume is identified as nard. In fact, it says she poured an entire pound of costly nard on his feet. That's a little bit different, isn't it? Scholars disagree whether this is something that happened on just one occasion or on more than once. There are enough details that are different that it's possible it happened twice or more. The setting's different. Luke says the woman was a sinner. Others don't say that. They differ in whether the perfume was poured on his head or his feet. But there are five critical elements of the story that are same in all four accounts. The first is that she arrived with the jar. The second is that the jar contained costly perfume. The third is that she broke it and poured it on Jesus. The fourth is that others criticized her. And the fifth is that Jesus defended her. I'm going to look briefly at all five of those to give us some background. And then we'll deal with Jesus' question that he asked the disciples. The first, I said, did you notice that she arrived with the jar? She didn't run out and get it in response to what was going on. So she must have already known him. And she came prepared. She came prepared to make a sacrifice. She came prepared to honor Jesus. She came prepared. Do we come prepared to meet Jesus, to honor him, to do something special for him? The second important thing about this story is that it was costly perfume, but it was also a costly box. Alabaster. You're not likely to have seen anything made out of alabaster unless you frequent museums. Alabaster is a soft stone that's carvable. It looks kind of like marble, but you have to use marble. You have to use a chisel to break marble. Marble's really hard. Alabaster is almost pliable. It is white. It's translucent. It's beautiful. It has the same effect as marble, but it's usually thinner. And it was often carved into beautiful shapes and with intricate designs. That's really different from the kinds of perfume bottles we have today. We have glass. We have wood. We have aerosol. They didn't have aerosol. We have, roll-on. They didn't have that either. We have sprays. We have room fresheners that come in oil or plug-ins. We have lots of ways of scenting our environment and our persons, don't we? None of them like this. This was exquisite. The nard alone, a pound of it would have been a year's salary. Ladies, well, gentlemen too, have you ever spent a year's salary on a bottle of perfume? Ever? And then would you pour it out if you had? On anyone? But the container itself was almost that precious. So in order to understand the sacrifice she made, we have to picture this glorious, white, shiny, translucent, beautiful vessel that contained something so precious that it was sealed to hold in the fragrance. So not even a drop of it would evaporate. It was sealed. Not just stoppered, but sealed. One of the gospel accounts says it was in a box. Another says a jar. That could have been because it happened twice. It could be because they just got details differently. But in any case, what we know is that she didn't just open it. She broke it. Why is that significant? Anything you open can be closed, can't it? But once you've broken something, you're committed. She couldn't just dab a little bit of it on him. She broke this costly container and poured out all of it, every bit. Couldn't put any of it back in. The fourth thing that's the same in all four accounts is that other people criticized her. The disciples criticized her. They agree that Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, criticized her the most because she was wasteful. But imagine this august gathering of men around a table discussing important things. In fact, Jesus had been predicting his death. This was a momentous gathering and event. And this woman came in with a bottle of perfume and poured it on Jesus. She was interrupting important discussions. They had all kinds of reasons to complain about her. She was the only woman present at this event that we know of. It's the only one mentioned. She didn't understand her place. She didn't understand the right way to behave in the presence of Jesus. They had all kinds of reasons to criticize her. But Jesus defended her. In fact, he said that whenever the gospel was told, whenever the story of his life was told, she would be remembered. Other than Judas, we don't have many names for other people who were there at that dinner. Just this woman and her story is told in all four gospels. He defended her and he asked this important question: why are you attacking her? During this year, when we've been looking at Jesus' questions, we've noticed a couple of important things. One is that when Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. He isn't asking for information. When Jesus asks a question, it's because he wants the disciples and us to think about the answer. Why are you attacking this woman? Usually, Jesus' questions direct us to think about our motivation or our actions. Here, he's asking the disciples to do both of those things. Look at what you're doing. You're on the attack. You're bothering her. And he asks, why? Why are you doing it? What prompts you to do this? In order to look at our own motivations and actions, we have to imagine Jesus here and somebody coming in and dumping a bottle of perfume on him. What would we think about her? We might think she's nuts. Her behavior would be so bizarre compared to our usual worship. None of you even get up during worship unless you're sick or have to go check on something or go with the kids and come back. We would never get up and interrupt to do something that bizarre, would we? And what would we think of somebody who did? We would start to think, must be nuts, needs a psychiatrist, doesn't know proper behavior. We'd think all sorts of things. Considering, the average age here, We might think she was beginning to have signs of dementia and needed to go into assisted living. Because we are polite, most of us wouldn't say anything to her, but there would be all kinds of parking lot conversations going on about her, wouldn't there? And they would be serious discussions because we're kind, loving people. They would be serious discussions about how to get her to have some much-needed help for her dementia, for her inappropriate social behavior. But just like the disciples, we would have an additional concern. If she were willing to pour out all that costly perfume on Jesus, maybe she's no longer able to handle her own finances. The amount of perfume she poured on him, equivalent to a year's salary, once it was out of the bottle, couldn't be put back in. A little bit would have been enough to anoint him, and pouring the whole bottle was serious overkill. Among other things, that much nard will be smelled all the way down Park Avenue to Lex Spring Mill. It's potent stuff. And breaking that jar was wasteful. She should have melted the wax seal. The woman would have been saving that bottle for something special. It would have been in her hope chest for her wedding day or some other special time. Maybe she was saving it for the burial of friends and relatives. Each drop was precious. She broke the bottle and poured it all. Didn't save any for herself or her loved ones. That's equivalent to someone today donating their life savings to the church. If someone did that today, we would applaud her generosity and question her sanity. She worshiped Jesus. And perhaps that's the thing that troubled them the most. She loved him so completely. She came prepared to sacrifice for him. She came prepared with that bottle. She brought her most prized possession, her most costly possession. And this wasn't just her certificates of deposit. This was her whole pension, Social Security, house title, and car. Who does this? Who does this? Someone who's devoted. Someone who's sacrificial. Someone who is grateful. She gave her most precious possession to prepare him for burial, he said. She alone, of all those who had been listening, understood and believed Jesus' words that he was going to die. And she had begun mourning for him. She wanted him to know how much she loved him. She wanted him to know how much she loved him while he was still alive. There's a wonderful poem. My husband makes fun of me because I always get the author wrong. I believe the name of the poem is Dover Beach, and all I know for sure is that it wasn't written by John Donne, because that's the name I want to give you, because I always get the name of the author wrong. But here's a line that I think is powerful. Friends, keep not your kisses for my dead, cold brow. The way is lonely. Let me feel them now. Friends, keep not your kisses for my dead cold brow. The way is lonely, let me feel them now. She didn't wait. She acted now to let him know how much she loved him. She believed Jesus' words about the resurrection, about the life to come, and the sacrifice he would be making. She wanted him to know she was grateful. Her life had been empty, and now it had purpose. He had set her free and given her a new beginning, and she was grateful. He gave her a reason to live and purpose. She was the only one in the room who had come prepared to worship him. She was the only one in the room prepared to make a personal sacrifice for him. She didn't open the bottle. Anything you open, you can close again. We tend to open ourselves up a little during worship, but then many of us close down for the rest of the week. She broke open the bottle, and it could never be closed again. She opened herself up to worshiping him fully with her whole self. One of the accounts says she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Her whole self was broken, healed, and utilized to love and worship Jesus fully. She broke the bottle. When you break it, you can't control how it comes out or how much comes out. Many people have wonderful control because they haven't been broken. People who have been broken can't control how their oil comes out. It pours out. Their worship of God pours out of them. And maybe that's the final reason the disciples criticized the woman. Her love of Jesus was untidy. Her worship was improper. Her passion was embarrassing. This woman teaches us the personal expense of true worship. She didn't go through the motions. She didn't give only a little of herself. She poured out herself with the perfume. She poured out her love. What about you? What about me? Do you have a portion of yourself you're hoarding in an alabaster box so it won't be detected, won't evaporate, won't be seen? Is there something you're holding back from Jesus that needs to be opened up, broken, poured out? Not long before his death on a cross, a woman who loved him and wanted to express that love in a practical way anointed Jesus with very expensive perfume. This is the essence of true worship. While good men looked on with indignation and complained about what they saw as waste, she received the approval of the Lord. Through her unusual but simple act of worship, she still instructs us today. We too need to express our gratitude to the one who called us by name, forgave our past, and gave us a fresh start. Jesus gave us his all, holding nothing back. The woman with the alabaster jar gave him her all in return. Thanks be to God.